be woken up early, even though our departure, if you will, you know, when you're going to fly back to Detroit or whatever, you're probably taking an early morning flight, so you've got to be up at 4 or 5 in the morning to get the airport by 7 or maybe even earlier. So we got woke up early and we didn't have to leave that soon. But we still have the advantage of looking at the scriptures and refining our understanding and so forth. It's an important concept. It's an important concept to realize that expectations are not the Lord's will. Imagine, if you will, what it would be like if the Lord's plan had to satisfy my expectations and your expectations. I don't think that there's, even though we're fairly harmonious as a group, our expectations differ because we don't have that wisdom and perfection that our Heavenly Father has. So our Heavenly Father's plan can't be based on our expectations. So when we have to realize that if our expectations aren't met, then there was something wrong with our expectations, not something wrong with the Lord's plan. Now, we also need to appreciate that our expectations for 1914, or any other date for that matter, have no bearing on the ransom. The ransom price was provided. It will be turned over to justice for Adam in due time, the Lord's due time, and the plan will be carried out. Our expectations have nothing to do with the value of our Lord's ransom sacrifice. Our expectations don't close the door. The door to the high calling is still open for us. 1914 didn't affect the high calling. Restitution still goes on. We'll talk a little bit more about that. It's really not dependent upon the date, 1914. So we see that differences in these expectations don't alter the facts of the basic principles of the truth. Ezekiel 12 Now, we wanted to also just mention Habakkuk 2:3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry or seem to tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Well, this was the vision. And in Ezekiel 12:21-23, the prophet says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, Thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision." Other translations say that the time has arrived and the vision speaks. And we really believe that is true about 1874, when the truth began to unfold and the vision was made plain upon tables that all may run that read it. And so blessed is he that cometh to the 1335 days. Daniel 12, verse 12. You know, when Brother Russell wrote the volumes originally, he entitled them Millennial Dawn. Now, later he changed the name to Studies in the Scriptures because apparently there was some that thought Millennial Dawn was a novel. You know, a murder mystery or a love story or whatever. These various novels that come in all kinds of these kinds of titles. And he didn't want anyone to be confused that these were books about Scriptures. So he changed it. But he originally named them Millennial Dawn because why? Because we're in the dawn of the seventh day, the Lord's Day, the millennium. We're at the beginning of that day, in the dawn. And that's why he named them that originally. We're transitioning in this transition period between 6,000 years of the nighttime of sin and darkness into the 1,000-year day of restitution. And that was the theme. That's the theme of present truth. That's the theme of the volumes. This whole transition into this wonderful age of restitution. And the source. Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. So the Lord said that he would return and feed us meat in due season. Matthew 24, verse 45. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? So this plan of the ages was the fulfillment of the Lord's promise. Now, the enlightenment of this 7,000th year day, the vision made clear, the enlightenment brings with it stepped-up attacks from the adversary. The adversary knows his days are numbered, and he is more active than ever to attack the truth and to discredit it and discourage its followers. And the attacks are subtle. And they appeal to the human mind. This thought of tearing. Well, you expected this to happen. It isn't happening. So the attacks tend to be toward discouragement. Impatience versus long-suffering. Think how the Lord has been long-suffering with humanity and allowing them to go through this long period of sin and evil to the extreme degradation that exists today. We need to be long-suffering in regard to the fulfillment of our hopes. Now, there, with the disappointment of 1914 in particular, many brethren gave up. They gave up. Their expectations weren't fulfilled and they gave up. And this meant that more crowns, these crowns had to be reallocated to someone else. And every one of you are a replacement crown for someone. To have had an original crown before the Lord's return, you'd have to be at least 135 years old. And I don't think any of us are quite there. So we're all replacement crowns for someone who has given up. We also live in a time when the standards of the world are lowered. Now, lowering the standards induces complacency. And you know, it's kind of a feel-good concept. But you know, if you lower the standard, then maybe you meet the standard or you come a lot closer to it than you would have otherwise. So everyone feels like I'm better because the standard's lowered. And to be even better yet, they lower it some more. And they probably become complacent and actually perform worse. And they lower it down to that level and they keep lowering it down to the point where there's no standards left. But our standards can't be lowered, brethren. And our responsibility actually increases with the intensity of the lowered standards, intensity of the trouble, and so forth. But our foundation is sure. 2 Peter 1:19, we have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. We are guaranteed not to be left in darkness. First Thessalonians 5:4, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. Paul's visions made possible our present understanding. It was Paul who spent a great deal of time looking at the tabernacle and Israel's experiences in the wilderness and so forth. And it was this Paul's understanding that really helped Brother Russell understand the tabernacle pictures, which is essentially the chart of the ages in regard to the development of the church in particular and also the blessings of mankind. So it was the thing that Brother Russell wrote first, and it was the thing that opened up our understanding. The seventh messenger accepted his office and was faithful in accomplishing its work. Prophetically, Ezekiel 9:11, and behold, a man clothed with linen, which had the inkhorn by his side, reported the matter, saying, I have done as thou hast commanded me. The purpose of the knowledge of the plan of the ages is for our comfort, to make us aware God's plans and purposes to protect us from errors, false doctrines, and to provide sustainment for our faith, endurance, so that we can finish our call. So we come to a question. Do the unfolding events of the day, in the past, this again since 1874, do they confirm we are in the millennium? It's true not that not every expectation for 1914 was fulfilled. But the chronology is still solid. And on our DVD after our break, we'll see that graphically, very clearly, second volume chronology. The increase of knowledge attests to the fact that we are in the millennium. Every question that can be raised has an answer from the scriptures and in line with the plan of the ages for us. Our neighbors who are not spirit begotten and do not have the truth cannot maybe appreciate those answers, but the answers are there. Is the millennium the only 1,000 years? We have scripture, 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now it's interesting, we're going to go through four passages of scripture, four events that are actually portrayed typically in the scriptures, each one of which happens on the seventh day. And all of these things relate to what we expect to happen in the Messianic age, in the millennial age. They involve the fall of Jericho, the woman loosed from an infirmity, the Hebrew sold himself into, or was sold into slavery, the release of a Hebrew was sold into slavery, and also our expectation to live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now, that's Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such a second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Some years ago, and they're still prevalent today, those that think there is 1,000 years that begins in 1874 and another 1,000 years that begins when the kingdom is fully established, the mediatorial phase of the kingdom. There is a mathematical principle that is so basic that you learned it before you went to school. Yet, this principle is so important that no mathematics, even simple arithmetic, fails without that principle being true. You can't do any kind of arithmetic or scientific analysis, whatever. You can't put a man on the moon without this principle. And that principle is called the number system. And the simple definition of a number system is that each unit is of equal value. And so if you put two units beside each other, there's, you have two units, there's no gap in between. In essence, two follows one, three follows two, and so forth. And you learn to count to five or ten before you went to school, long before you went to school, probably. But that principle is true. And so when 6,000 year ends, the 7,000 year begins. There's no gap until some other period begins. It's a very simple concept, but absolutely impossible to do any kind of math if you violate that principle. Now, regarding this 1,000 years in our reigning with, some have suggested, well, you know, the church don't all go home at the same time. We believe the sleeping saints were raised in 78, and some of us are still here. Some of them passed away recently. But, you know, the thought is how are we going to get our full 1,000 years unless the 1,000 years doesn't begin until the church is complete? Well, first off, our interest should be not getting our 1,000 years. Our interest should be getting the work done for the Lord to get mankind back to perfection. And if we could do it in 100 years, that would be all the better, wouldn't it? But, you know, the Lord saw the need for the 1,000-year day to do it. But beyond that, you know, if you say, I'm going to have exactly 1,000 years with the Lord, you can't have any more either. If you can't have less, you can't have more. 1,000 years is 1,000 years, right? So it's kind of a foolish argument because I expect to be with the Lord forever. And there are scriptures that suggest that too. So then there are other texts of scriptures that we can look at. Acts 17:31, first of all, because he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, of whereof he hath given assurance unto all men in that he has raised him from the dead. That's our Lord. So it's our Lord's day. It's the king's day. It's not the queen's day. And so if the king marries after he's ascended to the throne, that his reign doesn't start over, does it? The queen just joins him in the reign. It's still his reign. And so the 1,000-year period is our Lord's period. And the concept of the Christ means anointed. And as we come into that anointing, finally in our resurrection change, then we join that reign. A couple other texts of scriptures that help with this matter of the 1,000 years. Is it a full 1,000 years or not? Matthew 12:40. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so thus shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Well, if you take that scripture literally, you've got real problems. Because our Lord died on the cross at 3 p.m, and he was raised very early in the morning, 2 days later, on the third day. So the first day he was in the grave 9 hours. The second day, the full 24. And the third day, whatever early in the morning is. For me, it's sometimes 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning when I wake up. Usually I'm up around 5. So, you know, that wasn't 3 days and three nights. So we have to realize that these idioms that are used in expressing things in the scriptures are not literally, you know, 72 hours. 3 days was not literally 72 hours. It was parts of 3 days and nights. Another text of scripture, Acts 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself, that's our Lord, after his resurrection, alive after his passion, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now, from the scripture record, we know that he was not seen of them continuously 40 days. He came into their presence and then he left. Perhaps the longest duration was on the walk to Emmaus. And we don't know, that could have been 2-3 hours, maybe an hour over the meal, and then he left their presence. The upper room a couple of times. Maybe an hour at the most. On the seashore, a couple hours, who knows? But certainly, the scriptures say he wasn't seen for a whole week in between the two times in the upper room. So the point is clear here that being seen of him 40 days does not mean actually literally 40 24-hour days continuous. And so when we come across scriptures that say the 1,000 years, we need to appreciate that it is during the 1,000 years. Not that we will each be with him 1,000 years. So let's take a look at these four key areas to strengthen our faith on the 1,000 years. You know, John the Baptist was thrown in prison. And he began to have doubts. And he sent a messenger to our Lord and said, you know, this is Matthew 11, 3 and 4 I'm reading from. And they said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Now Jesus didn't answer that question, yes, I am he. He answered the question, what do you see? Go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. What are your observations? So each of the four areas we're going to talk about is specifically referenced as the seventh, as occurring in the 7,000-year day. Typically. Not all begin at once, nor are they completed instantaneously, but they belong to the millennium. first thing that we know that belongs to the millennium is the destruction of the present evil world. The organizations. What do we see? When I first gave this talk, it was right after the fall of communism. And I was giving the talk at a convention where I had I'd spoken like 8 months earlier. And in between that 8 month time frame, communism fell. I mean, it fell in a big way. It virtually vanished, other than China, in a few months. Eastern Europe was vastly different in 8 months' time. We have that text of scripture in 1 Kings 19, 11 and 12. And he said, "Go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." Well, we believe that these three symbols, the wind, earthquake, and fire, are a description of this destruction of the present evil world and their organizations. The first two dominant things, wind being wars and earthquake being revolutions, they are largely in sense of dominance in the past. And we feel we're in the state of anarchy, which we expect to be the shortest of the periods. As each of these things become more intensely destructive, earthquakes are more destructive than winds, and winds are more and fires more destructive than earthquakes. So then, in Joshua chapter 6, and we won't have time to read the account, but 6:2 to 16 and verse 20 describes Joshua's battle, Jericho. They were told to march around the walls of Jericho and blow their trumpets and so forth. On the seventh day, they were to do the same thing, but they were to shout for the Lord to shout in addition to the blowing of the trumpets. And when they did that, verse 20, "So the people shouted when the priests blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city." Well, this happened on the seventh day. So for 6 days, Satan's control of mankind had withstood any efforts to overthrow it. But in the seventh, it is being destroyed. What do we see? we see almost no totalitarian governments today compared to what they were in 1874, where the kings ruled. We still have some sheikhs that are fairly domineering. But by and large, we've seen the overthrow, certainly a significant beginning, if not a significant part of the overthrow, the destruction of the present evil world, still has to be completed. The next aspect that pertains to the millennium is the application of the merit to Adam and his progeny. And we'll turn to Leviticus 15, verses 12 to 15. And if thy brother, an Hebrew man or an Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee, and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go free from thee. And when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go away empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, and out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God has blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. So this was a part of the law, that a person who was sold by others had their liberty in the seventh year. So again, we have ourselves sold into sin and bondage by Father Adam. And so mankind is going to be released in the seventh year in the millennium. Restitution is the third. Return to perfection of a perfect man. You know, many of our Lord's healings took place and miracles took place on the seventh day. You know, he is criticized for that by the scribes and Pharisees and so forth for working on the Sabbath. And in one particular one, Luke 13, verses 11 to 11 to 17, we have this woman with a spirit of infirmity for 18 years, bowed together. And Jesus saw her and asked her, would she be loosed from her infirmity? And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. And was criticized by the ruler of the synagogue, and Jesus informed him he was a hypocrite, said who wouldn't loose their ox and so forth and take them to water and so forth on the Sabbath day. And ought not this woman, verse 16, being a daughter of Abraham, who Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day, the seventh day. So we see this again as a work of the millennial age. Restoration to perfection, to be freed from the bondage of Satan. All that Satan has brought about by the deterioration of the human flesh and will and mind and soul. It was appropriate, according to our Lord, for this to happen on the Sabbath day, because it was a picture of this. And this mediation work will be completed in 2874, 1,000 years, the end of the 1,000 years, when the kingdom is turned back to the Father. 1 Corinthians 15, 24 to 28. Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet, etc. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And so then, the little season follows after the millennium because they can't be under the mediator. They can't be under the protection of the mediator while they're being tried for their life. Then finally, the last of these four things, the glorification of the church head and body. This didn't stop the tearing down of the Satan's empire. It didn't prevent the beginnings of restitution, all the restitution blessings, communications, and ability to grow better crops, more crops, and mechanize things, and all these things, the inventions that are helpful for mankind. See, these things were not dependent upon the ransom price. The ransom price only applies to releasing Adam from the Adamic death penalty and his progeny. It didn't stop restitution from beginning, not the human restitution, but the tools and necessities to bring about restitution. And it didn't stop the destructive work. Those things... The release of Adam was dependent upon the church because the mortgage upon the ransom price. So the church has to be complete in order for that part to happen. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. This was the Mount of Transfiguration. After 6 days, so on the seventh day, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bring them to the high mountain and is transfigured before them. And so it's showing the resurrection of the church. And that occurs on the seventh day. So, brethren, looking at these three scriptural typical things, each one happening on the seventh day, so it applies to the millennium. And we can see that the destruction begins at the beginning. The glorification takes place in here and restitution begins, but doesn't end until man's fully restored at the end. And the church is raised in the middle here someplace. Early part of the middle, we trust. So if you see these things, brethren, remember what our Lord said, sent the message back to John. What do you see? If you see these things, reading from Luke 21:28, when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption or deliverance draweth nigh. So our hope should be encouraged and supported by these things, and we shouldn't be discouraged. May the Lord add his blessing.